Good morning. You guys awake? Sort of. It's nice and warm in here, hey? Ah, it's great, man. Oh, it's good. If you're wondering, what's up this morning? Like, you normally come to church 10 minutes late and we're singing already. What's up with this? No announcements. How am I supposed to do? Know what to do with my life? All that sort of stuff. It's like church should be that you never know what you're going to get, you know? That's a... But we're not doing just things different for the sake of doing it different. We are people trying to stay in step with the Spirit. And so good morning. It is so good to be with you. I feel like I've just blown in here. We came back from Cape Town last night and I literally left Cape Town in pouring rain and the wipers on full speed and arrived home with the wipers on full speed. It was pouring the whole way. So we're thankful to be back in one piece. Man, super expectant for this morning. And I just love, how many of you think that some things that God does is sometimes just coincidence or by accident? How many think it's quite on purpose when he does certain things, man? And so I just love, who of you as a church, we currently reading through the book of Acts together. Who of you have been reading with us? This is great, man. For the rest of you who haven't joined in, it's not too late. You can read 8 chapters in one day and then join us on chapter 9 tomorrow morning. So we're reading through the book of Acts together and we're reading a chapter a day. So today's Acts 8 because it's June 8th. Makes sense, huh? We're trying to make it easy for one another. But just how many of you found that so faith-stirring? And so I'll call this, it's probably 3 months ago that I felt, man, I would love for us to read some scripture together, but then we had all the regional equips and I was going to go away for a month and we couldn't find a day and I thought, look, let's just do it in June when I get back, we'll read together. And actually, as we announced that, I realized, you know, it was just the Ascension Day where we start with it and then, do you know what day is today? Pentecost! All right, and so I so enjoyed this week reading through together and globally as a church as Christians we're remembering the calendar of these events. How Jesus was crucified for us, he was raised from the dead, he ascended to heaven, and then today is where he poured out his Spirit upon all people. And so throughout the world today, we're remembering what he's done. And I love that as a church, we're reading these scriptures together as we're going through it. And now the church was born, eh? It is as a church was birthed, that's a better word. But, I'm trusting that today there'll be a move of God among us. And not just today, but I've got such faith that I believe with my whole heart that today God is going to shift gears with us. And that it is not just going to be a day because we celebrate Pentecost, but I think actually God is going to take us into more. So I just want to pray. Lord, we just want to say, yes, God, we believe it. And yes, we can see it, that this is still what you do. And this wasn't just a historic event. Years ago, we poured out your Spirit, but you said you want to pour out your Spirit upon all flesh. It includes us. And so, God, as a church this morning, we just want to say, yes, God, we believe it and we can see it. And we want to ask, Lord, would you come and do it among us this morning, Lord? We pray for a move of the Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, God, come, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. So on Tuesday, I just started praying for today and just what God wanted to do. And I've got so much in my head that I want to do. I still want to speak on encouragement. Remember that from like weeks ago? And I was starting to prep down that line and I could just feel how God was bending me to actually focus on this today. So I want to encourage you with what I'm going to preach. And as the closest I could get to it. All right. Thank you. That's gonna be the aim for today. So I want to look at Pentecost today. And who of you know, and not the elders who are up there this morning, but who of the rest of you know what Pentecost means? Anyone out there? Any Greek people among us? 50. Here we go. Carl studied it for law, I think. No. Okay. Pentecost literally means 50. Now we think, what in the world does 50 have to do with the Holy Spirit being poured out? Okay. And so I want to do a little bit of like some history with this morning to try and understand the significance of what God has done in choosing this day to back in the day to pour out His Spirit upon all people. Now, I am not normally someone who would find go down all these Jewish feasts and all the rituals and stuff, but there is there's a lot of significance to it often, even though we didn't celebrate those days anymore as they did. But in the Jewish culture, by the time when Jesus was around, there were three significant feasts that they did celebrate as a Jewish people. And the first was the Feast of Tabernacles. All right, now I'm not going to go down it too much, but that basically was where for a week, or the Feast of Booths, and they would come together and they would build little huts or tents or whatever, and they would live in these tents for a number of days, and they would remember how their forefathers dwelled in tents in the desert, and God's provision for them in the desert, manna in the morning, and quartos, what is that? Quail. I couldn't remember that word. Okay, quartos sounds much better. And it came blowing along, you know, these little birds, and it was God's provision for them, all right? So that's one of the big feasts they celebrate. And then we get the Feast of Unleavened Bread, or Passover, which is in today what we would call Easter. And this was the time where they remember that the angel of God passed over the older sons, okay? And you remember that how they, yes, I'm giving you like the whole Bible in two sentences here, okay? But they, back in the day, in the days of Egypt, they had to take the blood from a lamb, the unblemished lamb, and they had to put it around the doorpost. And when the angel of death came through Egypt, if you don't know what I'm talking about, stick around. We'll get to it eventually throughout this year. But they put the blood around the doorpost, and the angel of death passed over to not kill the firstborn son. And it was during Easter that the without spot and blemish lamb, Jesus Christ, was killed for us, and His blood flowed. And it was like God, on that very day when they remembered, they all in that city, Jesus gets crucified for our sins, for the forgiveness of our sins, so that we didn't have to die. That He passed us over, all right? And we celebrated that a few weeks ago. You know how many days ago exactly? 50 days ago. All right, and then the third feast that they have, which was quite a big one for them, was Shavuot, or Feast of Weeks. And basically what they celebrated here was that when they were in the desert after the Passover, they went into the desert, and 50 days after they were in the desert, God gave the law to Moses. And He said to them, here is My law to you as a people. This is how you now live. And they celebrated that day, remembering that's what happened there, and God giving them the law, not only the Ten Commandments, but much more than that. It's what set them apart as a nation from all the other nations on the earth. It was that we had the law to live by, and this is what made us different from all the other people groups. All right. Now again, who if you think that something that God does in terms of timing is a coincidence? I don't think so. All right. So they crucified Jesus, and He's raised from the dead. And for 40 days, He walks around on earth, appearing to many. I think it was 500 in total, or 5,000, I can't remember, 500? Yeah. And it appears to many, time and time again. Suddenly, Jesus is there. Then His disciples go with Him, and they look into heaven as He ascended on a cloud, and He says, go and wait for Me. Go and wait. And they go and wait in the upper room. Must have been a week. A week that they're waiting for Him, praying together. And it says, suddenly, He was there. 50 days later. And you know what I love about this? And we're going to read it together now. But the significance of what used to set them apart, that God has given the law to live by. God comes and He says 50 days later, now what will set you apart is, here is My Spirit. Live by it. And the rest of the New Testament, and even Jesus in His time, said, you will no longer be known for a people who just do the things by the letter of the law, but you'll be those who are living by the Spirit. Live by it. As it's profound. Yeah? It is incredible, actually. And let me see. I love that the day before this, sorry, this is just going through my notes here, but the day before this, so Judas obviously betrayed Jesus and he hung himself, and so now they weren't the 12 anymore, but the 11. And so they said, God, we need to appoint a new disciple. And there are two guys, I think it was Barnabas and Matthias. Say again? Thank you. Barsabas, not Barnabas. Ne? And so they're like, okay, how do we choose here? And they didn't have the Spirit yet. All right. And so what did they used to do back in the day before they had the Spirit? It's cast lots. It's like a lucky draw. Okay. Oh, Matthias, it's you. Sorry. Okay. And then they pick him. Unlucky. Okay. But do you know that that moment was the last time ever that the church had to make a decision by casting lots? Because since then, they had quite profound decisions that they make. Like one was, do we have to be circumcised or not? All right? Big deal, okay, for the men. And thank Jesus, all right, that James said in I think this is Acts 17, he stands up and says, this is my verdict. And they said, no longer it's needed. They said, it seemed good to us and the Holy Spirit. Because now we're not casting lots. Was circumcision or not? Okay? Okay. No. It's like, No. Thank Jesus for the Spirit. That from there they made decisions. And it's like they became a people following the Spirit. So Matthias being chosen as the 12th disciple was the last time ever that, in a sense, it wasn't luck. Somehow God still used that. But now he says, my Spirit is going to be in you. And you're going to be a people who not live by the law, but by the Spirit. You're going to know how to follow my Spirit. I love that, eh? Here is my Spirit, now live by it. And I love Galatians 5, later on Paul writes to them, he says, so I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, I don't want to dive too deep down into this, but how many of you found, like, we all know what's wrong and right in many ways, you know? It's like you grow up with some of a moral compass, but sometimes we can get so comfortable going on the black side, you know, or the dark side. And you get used to, we know the law says there, but I'm here. And how many of you found that sometimes the Spirit comes and he convicts? All right. You were quite okay driving 140 in 120 zone for most of your life until one day the Spirit came and convicted us. It's no longer. So now, I don't want to dive too deep down into that, but it's like, can you see how it's like we're not a law-driven people anymore, but have you found when the Spirit comes, you're like, okay, boom, slow down, change direction, stop doing that. It's like, and we become a Spirit-led people, and we should be. But you know what the problem is? It's like, and this is throughout history now, is we're quite okay to do things in our own strength. It's much easier to tell us, give me the 10 points that I should do or shouldn't do, and I'll do that. But following the Spirit, Jesus said, it's going to be like the wind. You don't know where it comes from. You don't know where it's going. And that's going to be what my people is going to be like. Actually said, this is what my church is going to be like. It's going to do this. It's going to be fluid. Now, who of you like a little boxy and some structure? Put up your hands. That's you. All right? Okay. Anton, raise your hand. Okay. Okay. And friends, I'm going to say this. Actually, all of us do. It is. It's how I want to say the flesh wars against the Spirit. It's how you were made. But we, like today, what I'm trusting for is that there'll be a hunger in us to be a Spirit-led people. That actually all of us would allow the Spirit to reign here, and that our flesh will not war against it. All right. So let's read together. For those of you who haven't read it this week, but even for us who have read it, in Acts 2, from verse 1. So when the day of Pentecost come, now what day is this? Now it's not like some random name for the Holy Spirit being poured out. No, it was 50. It was the day of the feast that they were there to celebrate. That's where all these people were in town, all right? It's cool to get to know the Bible, man. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Why? Because Jesus told them to go and wait. And suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came and rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And they began to speak in tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now they were staying in in Jerusalem, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them had heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked. Now, I want to say this. When last do you think the world, or let's take it more to home, when last do you think Mossel Bay and those who are not here were utterly amazed about what God is doing within us? Oh, friends. I want to say, like just this week as I was praying, I said, God, I'm praying that we're coming to a space again where Mossel Bay will be utterly amazed about what he's doing among us here. Utterly amazed to ask, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? And then how is it that each one of us hear him in our native language? Parthians, Medes, I don't know all these names, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Egypt, and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome. So now you got Aramaic, you got you got Italian because there's guys from Rome there. You got Arabic, that's the word I'm looking for. Thank you, Vili. And you got all these, there's probably some Chinese happening here. There's like all these different stuff that's being spoken out of Galileans here. Both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in their own tongues. And then it says, amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? So the amazed there is like, Andrew once did a great teaching on this, but he said the amazed would be the same word when Mary came to the tomb and they saw that Jesus wasn't there anymore. It says that they were amazed, same root word in the Aramaic. It says amazed, like, oh my goodness. And then it went to perplexed, like, but where is he? You know, that's we don't understand, like, what has happened here? Where have they taken him? But then it says, some, however, made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Now, friends, I want to tell you, whenever there's a move of God in the, like, throughout the world, you always get these three categories. Those who are amazed, those who are confused, and those that mock. And I trust today that I think there might be some who maybe didn't scoff, but maybe just said, no, I'm not doing that. All right? I'm trusting that God will move you from mocking to being amazed. And those who are perplexed, it's like, I can see it, but I just don't understand that we'll be moved to amazement this morning with God. All right? But then Peter stood up with the 11 and he raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. He says, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. No, it's only 9 o'clock in the morning. That wouldn't have worked in today's time, okay? He says, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. He says, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. And even on my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Friends, we are in the last days still. Yeah. And it's a promise that God has given us throughout the years. He says, I will pour out my spirit upon all people. You're included this morning. You're included this morning for a baptism, a pouring out of his spirit upon us. And I, just as I was preparing, I was sitting on Friday. We were with friends of ours in Langebaan. And I said, guys, I just need a few hours to just prepare. And as I'm just preparing for this morning, I felt the Lord remind me just of my own story. Now, I'm maybe running ahead of myself here a little bit, but I want to say with the baptism of Spirit, there's a difference here between just getting saved and having the Spirit make his home in us and being baptized with the Holy Spirit. All right, there's a difference. Like when we get saved, it says that yes, God's Spirit makes his home within us, but we have to be filled with his power, with the power of the Holy Spirit, with the fire of the Holy Spirit. There needs to be both here, all right? And you'll know when you've been baptized with the Spirit. It'll be quite clear to you. All right. It'll be a life-changing day for you. And I remember when, you know, I got saved as a 15-year-old boy, and I didn't get saved out of a bunch of drugs and alcohol and whatever, you know. As I was quite a good Christian boy. Okay, and I was very religious, and we attended church every Sunday. And my parents did the what was the Sutukerk, like after church, you know. So we were very involved. It was very religious, and I went on a camp and I got radically saved, and then as friends, luckily I got saved with a few friends. But for 2 years we were trying to do this Christian thing. We were trying to live it out, you know. We were trying to somehow what we've seen on that camp to try and live it out, but we haven't had the Holy Spirit yet. And then that story that I shared with many of you before, and it's that when that atheist friend of mine died in that bike accident, there was like it started the turn in my heart where the reality of God came quite close, and God started calling me. So that I sat there on that side of the road. I'm not going to share that story again, but I said to the Lord, I'll follow you for the rest of my life. I don't want to do this or go about my life if I know there's people that don't know about you. And then it was around about 2-3 weeks after that, a friend of mine came to me and he said, Hannes, we're going to get baptized. You need to get baptized. Now, we're in the Baptist church, okay? Nobody has told me about baptism, all right? And I have this friend who's, I think he's like a few weeks older than me, man, explain to me why we have to get baptized. I'm like, I'm in, okay? So we get baptized as a bunch of friends together, and we're trying to do this Christian thing, you know? And then a few weeks later, one of our other friends who was part of an NCMR church in Bloemfontein called Fountainhead, all right? She comes to us one day and she says to us, guys, you need to get involved with the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she says, I want you to come and visit this Friday evening at church. God is doing something among us, and just come and see. Okay. Now, we were hungry, frothing. Okay, we organized lift clubs. We drive to this tent. They were meeting like just outside of Bloom. And we arrived there as a bunch of 17-year-old boys. And very religious in our makeup, all right? And there was a guy ministering that evening called Keir Taylor. Some of you might have heard about him before, all right? And I can't remember a word that Keir said that whole night. Né? But all I remember is next to me, there was a man sitting on his chair. And the whole night, he was just, and not in a blasphemous way, but he was just sitting like this, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I remember as he was doing that, somehow the awareness of God came into that room. And the fear of God was gripping me. Okay? I don't know what was happening. And I don't know why Keir did this, but he said something like, the first 20 people that's hungry for God, come to the front. And we were too late, okay? There was like 500 people there. And these guys ran to the front, and the next moment it looked like someone opened a machine gun over these people. This guy's falling. Now I'm standing, it's like, I have no idea. I've heard about stuff like this. It wasn't a good thing, okay? And what's happening here, all right? But of that, it was undeniable that it was God doing something here. This wasn't a work of men. This is a work of God. And I remember standing there and I was just crying. I said, God, I wanted to be there. I was like, I want that. And I'm hungry, you know. And I said, God, I told you I want to follow you. Why was I too late here? I don't understand all of this. And the next moment, Keir's wife, I think it was Kathy, comes to the front and she takes the mic and she says, there's a young man here with a green shirt on with black writing on it. And I'm just still moaning towards the Lord. I wanted to be there, you know. And my one friend taps me and says, Hannes, that's you. And I'm the only one in the whole crowd with a green shirt with black writing on it. All right. And she says, come here, young man. And I'm standing there in front of all these people. She says, young man, you know that God has called you to follow him, to work for him. And she says, and she reads us Proverbs 3, verse 5, he says, this is going to be the theme for your life. He says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. All right. Fear the Lord and shun evil. And then this will bring good health to your body and nourishment to your bones. And they prayed for us. And friends, I tell you, it was a baptism of the Holy Spirit that came upon me. It was a setting apart. It was God imparting His Spirit to me. I was overcome by His Spirit. It wasn't a work of man. And I didn't start speaking in tongues immediately. I was just flabbergasted what was happening. And man, we've had some, I think that night also something around worship unlocked in my heart is we worshiped for hours. I think my mom picked me up at 11:30 at night from that tent and she was like, okay, you need to come now. But we were just worshiping God passionately, man. And I get in the car and I need to know my opa was a opia car dominee, you know? That's that side, okay? And my mom grew up like that. All right. Now, I don't have a clue when my mom sits with the Holy Spirit, but I get in the car and I start telling, you won't believe what we've seen. Like, there were people all over the place speaking in tongues. It was healing. It was like, this lady taught me these things and I could feel God coming. I'm just blah, it all out here, you know, not knowing what she's going to say. And my mom sits there as we're driving home. I'll never forget it. It's late at night. My mom weeping and she says, my boy, it's true. She says, I too many years ago, I've been at a meeting where Angus Buchan had prayed for me. This is early days of Angus. And she said, I couldn't tell anyone, but the Spirit of God came upon me and I started prophesying and I started speaking in tongues. She says, I've hid it from people around because I knew I couldn't speak about it. And so my mom, we're driving, and this is such a profound moment. We're driving home and my mom stirs me. She says, stirs me into the things of the Spirit. And I get home that night and I couldn't sleep, man. And I'm laying in the bed and I start speaking in tongues. And it's just like the Spirit got started working through me, unlocking me. It was God giving me a heavenly language. And I was baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, friends, I want to tell you, since that day, I've never been the same man. Never. I know that day I've met with God. And that he's baptized me with his Holy Spirit. That same prophecy that is given in Joel where he says, like, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. I was part of that. He has baptized me with his Holy Spirit. And it was quite clear. Now, I want to say, I'm forever thankful to that friend who's told me, you need to get involved with the Holy Spirit. You cannot do this thing on your own. There's no way you're going to do this Christian thing on your own. You need the Holy Spirit. And I'm forever thankful for my mom who stirred me into the things of the Holy Spirit. And you know, for us this morning, you know, with Mossel Bay, let's be honest with one another here. We're quite a religious town. Hey? We're quite a religious people. We like our boxes, probably more than the rest, okay? It is, even Andrew said in the week, says, be aware, you like religion, yeah? And so I think often for us when it comes to the Spirit, it's hard to digest some of these things. It's hard to, like, I can tell you that story, and I'll tell you, you can say whatever you want today about me about that. I know what happened to me, all right? It's undeniable, all right? But sometimes when you try and figure that out, it's hard to understand it. It's hard to, like, and that's a point. Lean not on your own understanding. Be not wise in your own eyes, all right? And I think, you know, just for us today, I think one of the greatest tragedies of the modern church is Christians who are told what to do and what not to do, but they're not told about the power how to do it. We're not exposed to the power how to do it. We're not told about that it's by the Spirit. And Sean Browder said, one of the guys from Oxygen said this once, he said, and so the people of God, many of whom are not told that they actually need to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, soldier their way forward. New creations, but lacking the actual power to live a new life. And over time, love grows cold, convictions fade, and goalposts are shifted as a sense of power has to be externally manufactured rather than inwardly given. Now, how many of you found this? There was a day, and I know most of you here this morning, there was a day where you got saved and you were at Passover. You saw the Lamb of God being crucified for you. You knew how much your sin had to be forgiven. You said, God, I'll give myself to you. But you're still at a place where you're standing looking at Jesus going into heaven. And now what? It's like you're standing at Ascension Day and Jesus lifted on a cloud and you left in trying to do the thing in your own strength. And Christians aren't told and exposed to the power that we actually need to be filled with. He says, go and wait for me. And you know that these guys, the disciples, they've been with the best teacher in the whole world for 3 years. They lived with him, okay? They were with Jesus day and night. And he says to them, go and wait. And they didn't do a single thing before they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And I think the pity for us is, like, we're quite confident about who we sat under and what instruction we got. It's like, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to live this Christian life. I'll get it right. But we all, friends, have to wait to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's available to all of us who believe. Now, just quickly, there's a difference between having the Holy Spirit inside of us and actually being filled with His power. And this is what Piper says. He says, having the Holy Spirit means receiving the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation. So when you get saved, he says, He comes and dwells within us, you know. And an internal dwelling that seals believers until the day of redemption. That's being saved. He makes His home within you. But being filled with the Holy Spirit, on the other hand, is an ongoing experience of allowing the Holy Spirit to fully occupy every part of a believer's life and empowering them with God's grace and power. This is an ongoing thing, and it is experiential. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is called the person of the Holy Spirit, the friend of the Holy Spirit. It is not some wind that just blows and it's like the sci-fi scene. That's not it. He's a person. He's as part of the Trinity as Jesus and God, the Father. He's as part. And He's always been there, friends. Right in the beginning, Genesis 1, when God said, let us make man, who was He speaking to? Jesus and the Spirit. He was there. When God came and He met with Moses in a bush, a burning bush, how do you think He did it? It's by His Spirit that He came and He was there. You know, I love this picture about fire, where it says, even on Pentecost, it says that it looked like there was fire on their heads. It says when Jesus is coming back in the last days, there'll be fire in His eyes. This is a passionate God we're speaking about here. All right? You guys all right still? And so throughout the Bible, friends, so this is Old Testament and New Testament, by the way, but throughout the Bible, when someone has been filled with the Spirit of God, it had quite an experiential encounter to it. Like it had a manifestation to it. Now, I'm not going to dive into all of it, but if we look at Samson, this is Old Testament. It says that the Spirit of God began to stir in him. Now, I tell you, Tuesday, I'm sitting prepping. I think we had a surf this morning, and I was at Vida E. I was just sitting there reading, and I was trying to get my head into Sunday. And suddenly, the only way I can explain it's like the Spirit of God began to stir in me. And I was like, I need to get out of this Vida E because I don't know what's going to happen with me. All right? And I took my coffee and got in the car and I came home. All right? And I said, and then God didn't baptize me there with His Spirit. But it's like, I could feel the Spirit starting to stir in me. All right. This is what He does, man. It says, and in Judges 15, He says, and it came powerfully upon him. David, it says that when he was anointed by Samuel, it says that the Spirit of God came upon him. Saul, it says when he was anointed by Samuel, the Spirit of God rushed upon him and he started prophesying. There's a guy called Bezalel in Exodus. This is right at the start. He was supposed to build the tabernacle. And it says that God said this to Moses, I filled him with my Spirit, with wisdom, to do what he had to do. All right, Saul, Moses, Elizabeth, you know, with John the Baptist, and John the Baptist himself, even in the womb, leapt as he recognized. That's the Holy Spirit. No other baby does that. All right, and I want to remind you that Jesus didn't do a single miracle before he was baptized, and the Spirit of God came upon him. Jesus himself, One of the theological points that I felt God wanted to take a hold of today for us is like, I know that there's many of you that has been in church forever. And I know that there's some of you that's here for like a week. And I know what it's like. Friends, it's like there's times where, I mean, I'm considering my life and it happened quite quickly actually. 2 years after I got saved, I was baptized with the Spirit, I got tongues. And I felt God said there's some of you here who's been at meetings where you've cried out to God and it didn't happen. But you know, we are terrible people. Is what we do when something doesn't happen how we thought we should happen is we build theologies around it for ourselves to make it palatable for us why it didn't happen to me. All right? And we build the theology to say this is why God is in this box and this is why I'm here. It didn't happen to me. It happens to someone, it didn't happen to me. No. Again, we create ideas. And I felt one of the things God wanted to say for us today is being baptized with the Holy Spirit is a prophecy and a promise that God has given us back in the day in the Old Testament. It says, upon all people, all flesh, I'll pour out my Spirit and you'll prophesy, speaking tongues, dream dreams, see visions. It was a promise for His people. It's available. When they were together in the upper room, they were all filled with the Spirit. As you're reading through Acts at the moment, how many of you see the scene with the Spirit? They were all. And I've had friends, man. I remember like Ivan and Cor and their daughter Jenna. I don't think she'll mind me sharing this, but she got saved when she was like 3 years old, man. And by the time we got to Melkbos, where's my wife? Jenna was like, I think probably 15. I don't know how old she's now. No, yeah, 15 around there. No, 14 maybe. And I remember at youth, man, we've had these waves of God coming through where there was like an outpouring of the Spirit. And Jenna was always at the front crying out to God, God, would you baptize me with the Spirit? Her dad and them are leading these type of meetings in the church. They've got the most grace when it comes to that. And Jenna's crying out to the Lord, would you baptize me with the Spirit? God, I want to speak in tongues. Friends, I think I stopped leading youth, and it was like 7 years after I got there one day, God gave her tongues. Now, I can't tell you why or how or what, all right? But I know, like, there were so many moments where she had to wrestle with us, with the discontentment, and why doesn't happen with me? Maybe it's not for me. Maybe it's like, and it's not about, no, trust me, we can go down some dark alleys here to try and figure all of these things out. But I felt what God wants to do today is He wants to swing the pendulum, that it's available, His promise is available for all people, and there must be a baptism of Spirit, and you'll know about it. You'll know that you've been filled. All right. And then it can happen repeatedly in the life of believers. In fact, it must. All right. A continual filling, but there'll be a definite first. All right. And so it often happens. This is often how it happens. It happens when there's repentance and faith in Jesus, baptism, and then baptism in the Holy Spirit. We often see this picture, how God worked with these people. It's like that's why we're so serious on, have you got saved? Have you been baptized? But I felt the one area we missed it out. So in Acts 2 later on, when Peter preaches and he says they were cut to the heart, and they ask, what should we do? He says, repent and be baptized. Now we're good with that. But then he says, and receive the Holy Spirit. And unfortunately, in the modern church, and I think maybe in the Western, maybe not in the Western culture, in the Afrikaans culture, South African culture, we're tiptoeing around this thing quite a bit because it's out of our box, you know, and we don't like upsetting the apple cart. And so we say, repent and be baptized. That's quite clear. But I felt what God wants to do today is, and receive the Holy Spirit. There's no way that you can do the Christian life without the Holy Spirit. And friends, some of you today are in that category that I read. It's like Christian people that have started out this Christian walk, but you haven't received the Spirit. And at some time, love grows cold. Goalposts are shifted. Theologies are implemented. It's because that you aren't being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? And that receive the Holy Spirit, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in Acts 2. If you look at the Aramaic or the Greek, it says, I can't remember the word now, but it means to take a hold of. And so that's literally, I've got a gift that I want to give you, but I can't force it down your throat. All right, it's a gift. Yeah? And what God says is, you need to take a hold of the gift. All right, you need to take a hold of the gift of the Spirit. And how do we do that? It's by faith. It's by faith. Faith and obedience is how we take a hold of the Holy Spirit. You know, I love that when Peter preached, it says that they were cut to the heart. And friends, I want to tell you that is the work of the Spirit that does that. It's Him that cut us to the heart. It's Him that while I'm even speaking now, I can see some of you are tearing up and you're wrestling with this thing and you're aware of the presence of God, okay? Is anyone else here? All right? So we're aware of it. It's Him cutting us to the heart. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not my preaching. All right. The Holy Spirit highlights truth. He changes people. He gives revelation. He convicts our hearts and He convinces our minds. That's the work of the Spirit. I love Acts 4. This is just a few days later. And that lame man has been raised and there's all sorts of anarchy because it was on Sabbath and whatever. And Acts 4:7, they ask them, by what power or by what name did you do this? And I love this. It says, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Now, I want to remind you, this Peter, 50 days ago, denied Jesus out of fear. All right? 50 days later, time didn't heal that. Okay? What's the difference here? Peter, being filled with the Holy Spirit, stands up with full of boldness, and he declares to them the gospel, and people get saved. 2,000 more get saved, all right? And then these religious guys can't work it out, okay? And says, verse 13, verse says, but when they saw the courage of Peter and John, I think I gave it to you, yes, of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. Who of you are ordinary people? All right? Ordinary people. It says they were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. It's the Spirit. It's the Spirit that did that. So I wanna prepare you, friends, today. If you maybe close your eyes for a second, and I want you to be real honest with yourself here. Yeah? I want to ask you, have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? It's not a competition. It's not a, you don't have to, please don't lie. Be quite honest with yourself. And if there was a day, that's great, because we got more for you as well. But if you're honest and you say, you know, I know I got saved, but I can't remember that God has filled me with His Spirit and filled me with power. Just say, God, today, all right, you can open your eyes again. And then for those of you who have been filled with the Spirit, we need to be continually filled, all right? And I love Acts 4. Like I said, this is just a few days later. But persecution arose quite quickly, okay? Pressure came, all right? And Acts 4:29, they're all together. I love just before this, it says they were together in one room and they lifted their voices together, crying out to God. It says here, and they're praying this. It says, and now, Lord, look upon their threats. God, look what's happening around us. Look, we're going to get killed. You know, this is getting dangerous here, God. Look upon these threats and grant your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness. And while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant. And when they prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. I love that where it says, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued. This is continuing. It's like, now the believers, who are these believers? Do you think they were there on that first day of Pentecost? Yes. All right. Did the Spirit leave them? No, but there's this posture of continually having to be filled with courage and boldness and strength and filled with His Spirit. A once-off is not going to do it for us. And friends, I want to tell you, Friday morning, I'm sitting there praying and prepping, and I say, God, I don't just want to preach theory. I said, God, I need courage to preach with boldness and courage and to continue amongst whatever persecution we're experiencing, to continue preaching with boldness. Oh, friends, I want to say, I sat up there and I met with God, man. Like, He came upon me. I could hear my friend playing with my kids on the trampoline outside, and I met with God, and He filled me. And I tell you, to the T, what I can say what happened is there was a boldness and a courage that came upon through the Holy Spirit to continue preaching the word with boldness. And it's available for us. And I love how Paul, you know, right at the end, even with the Galatian church, he rebukes them. And he basically, you know, Galatians 3 says to them, because they started out as this spirit-filled church. And then a while later, he says to them, you foolish Galatians, who's bewitched you? How's that word? Who's deceived you? Who's tricked you? Who has bewitched? It's like blinded you. Now, friends, I want to say, for those of you who've been filled with the Spirit back in the day, it is so possible for us to get bewitched. And trying to do it in our own strength now. It says, who's bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. Next one. And I would like you to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law? Here we go. This is what happened on the day. Was it by the first round or the second round? Remember the 50 days. All right. Was it by the law or by believing what you've heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning in the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort, by flesh? He's saying, friends, you know that when you believed, He poured out His Spirit upon you. You prophesied. He says, I was there. and now you try to do it in your own strength. He says, have you suffered so much for nothing? If it really was for nothing, does God give you His Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you have heard? Consider Abraham. He believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. It says here, friends, this is not by observing the law and getting everything right. The power that you need to do actually to please God, it is by His Spirit only. It's only by His Spirit. And how we attain that is believe. Believe Him. And with that, friends, I want to say that I know that this thing about the Spirit and the power of God and miracles and signs and wonders, it has been so, there's a word that I'm looking for now, but like it's been destroyed actually in the church. Yeah. There's a word that Jesus often uses quite out there, not prostitute, like it's something like that, something down those lines. Yeah, it's like it's been abused. Yeah? It's like it's a strong word. I can't remember the word now. And I too have seen it. I've seen the good, the bad, the ugly. All right, I've been there when someone tried to push me over when they pray for me. All right, and I'm like, oh, not today. Okay, and okay, I've been there. All right, I've seen the ugly side of it. But you know, having the ability to cheapen or counterfeit something that God gives does not mean that we should reject what God gives. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Because we have the ability or the capability to cheapen or counterfeit something that God gives doesn't mean that we should reject what God gives. All right? You know that it's possible to block out the entire sun by doing this with your finger. All right? But because you can block out the sun with your small finger doesn't mean that the sun isn't there. It's very much there. And it is possible for us as a church and as people, because we're so scared of the abuse out there in the past, that we can do this and we block out the Holy Spirit and we reject Him. We harden our hearts and say, it cannot be. But just because we can do this doesn't mean that He's not there. I recently said to someone, does any of you maybe here have a fake 30 rand note for me, please? Why not? Because you didn't even get a real. You didn't get a real 30 rand note, okay? But there's fake 20 rand notes and fake 100 rand notes and fake 200 rand notes. You get a fake of what the real exists for. All right. And there are some of you who's been scarred. And friends, I want to say today, I'm so sorry that the church, this is the word hoarded. This is what God used in the Bible, actually. That the church have hoarded the power of the Spirit and tried to manufacture it, and it's hurt us. Friends, I've been there. Years after this, I got so confused with what I've seen. All right, but just because someone has counterfeited it doesn't mean that the real isn't available for us. It is very much alive and real and available for us. So just as we land this in Acts 19. You know, church. Paul comes to Corinth, actually, and it says while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road. Went to Ephesus through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. And there he found some disciples, and he asked them. Now this is us. This is his first question when he gets there. He found some disciples. He says 12. He gets them together. These guys are Christians, okay? And he gets them together in a room and says, "Guys, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" Now these are disciples of Jesus, all right? First question Paul asked, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they all said, no, we haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit. Now, man, I want to say, I'm so sorry if you've been with us for a while and you even haven't even heard of the Holy Spirit, all right? We're shifting gears today, all right? So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? And they said, John's baptism. Now, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance of sin. This is even before Jesus. Né? And so now it says, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And he told the people to believe in the one coming after him, which is Jesus. All right. So on hearing this, they were baptized in water in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Again, it's a filling of the Holy Spirit. And so what I want us to do here quickly, as I'm going to land for us, is this making sense? Are you guys all right? I want you to turn to a person next to you. And we're not joking around here now, okay? This is quite a serious thing. I realized as I'm reading through Acts, wherever Paul, Peter, John, James went, they had this utter conviction in them that it's only by the Spirit. They didn't go with plausible words. They didn't go with good ideas. They knew that it's only by the Spirit. And Paul comes to a group of believers, and the very first question he asks them is, did you receive him? Did you receive the Holy Spirit? Were you baptized in him? Do you know about him? Has he filled you? Why? Because I think one of the only Christians that has ever got into heaven without the Holy Spirit was the sinner that hung on the cross and said, Jesus, remember me. And he did. He didn't have time. Okay. But friends, for the rest, I tell you, time and time and time, Christians fall away because we're trying to do it in our own strength. You need him. You need him. So I want you to turn to someone next to you, and this is and it's not a shameful thing, but awesome. Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? All right. So what I want us to do here now is so friends, I want to say we can probably stick on this topic for years about the Holy Spirit, and there's so many avenues that we can go down and try and understand this. And you know what's cool is we'll never understand it. And that is why I think right at the start, one of the words Jesus gave me says, lean not on your own understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Trust God. All right. And so I want to, in a sense, this morning, this is the what I want you to remember from this preach is that there's three things, if I can summarize all of that. It used to be back in the day, live by the law, do this. And now Jesus said, live by the Spirit, follow him. And we, please hear me, we still observe the law. We don't become heathens. But our primary source is the Spirit. All right? That's what set us apart. Okay? There needs to be a day where you get filled with the Spirit, where the power of God comes upon you, and you get baptized with the Holy Spirit, because he prophesied, he promised that. So this is what I want to give for all people. So I want to say this morning, the qualifications is if you have put your faith in Jesus, and you've made him Lord and Master of your life, the promise of the Holy Spirit is available for you this morning. And then for those of you who have been filled, so you need to be filled again. And I trust that there'll be a hunger in us this morning. So God, we need a move of you among us. And just because sometimes we're scared and cautious and we can blot out the sun, and we can make as if the Spirit's not there, and we can try and do it in our own strength, he is very much there. And so this morning, like some of the revivalists often they say this, it's like there's no human ability that we can manufacture the presence of God. And I want to set you at ease this morning. Nobody's pushing no one, all right? We're not throwing dust out the roof here, all right? It's like, in the end, it still has to be God that comes and does it, all right? For revivals to start, they often say there's three things. It's prayer, it's faith, and it's obedience. Right? Those three, it's like it attracts the Spirit of God. And this morning, how we take a hold of him is by faith. So God, we believe you. And we don't always understand this, but when we read Acts, oh friends, just even in this first 8 chapters, someone died when they lied to the Spirit. Someone got filled with the Spirit. Someone prophesied. 2 people died, in fact. Fear came upon the church. Much joy came to the church. It's like, it's all over. He's bigger than us. But oh man, if we don't have him among us, we'll be written about in Revelation. You think you're alive, but you're actually dead. He should be our very source. He should be the center of how we live.